time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Ever Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, we're back once again with George Kasotis, and kind of talking about some things that a lot of you wouldn't remember, of course. I saw in our elevator today, Randy Winland. He's just come out with that new book on Crystal Lake Park. Now, did you ever, you went to Crystal Lake Park. Did you ever ride the Ferris wheel?
Yes, I did. I rode all those.
Oh, no kidding.
You know what they called it first? Sea Camp Park.
Sea Camp.
Yeah, it was
no
called
kidding.
Sea Camp Park.
Oh, Sea Camp. Sea Camp was over between Galleon and Bucyrus.
Yeah, but they called that area the Sea Camp Park where the there was a wooden roller coaster there.
Yeah. I'll be darned. I saw once the death certificate of a guy from Galleon that was killed on the roller coaster here at Crystal Lake. Joe Grounds found that, and I think I might have a copy of it at home yet.
I was a kid going up to the park at the roller coaster and all the cotton candies and all the junk that was up there. Oh, my God. That was big. That was big. Yeah, that was big time back then.
There were a lot of those around the country, and Henry Ford and his flivver did away with all those because they drove to Cedar Point and elsewhere. But, interesting. Oh, my goodness. A lot of history there.
I don't know what Ranley's got two or three guys that are going to be there at the Tri Rivers.
Oh, really?
And I'm the one that was there, and I danced with Madge Cooper Guthrie, and I did with WMRN all those years. I was up there, and then the swimming pool was the biggest thing in this side of heaven.
I
used to dive in there. There was a float. What do you call them? Out in the water.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Raft.
Yeah, raft.
It was high.
Yeah.
Because I swim under. See, we would say, who can stay under the water the longest?
Oh.
And I would say, I can't, because I knew underneath that raft there was a hole about this big.
Oh,
it was
no
a
kidding.
Square.
Yeah.
And I could go underneath the raft and go up and get some air.
And breathe.
And I would stay under there for about 3 to 5 minutes, you know.
Wow.
And then I would come back out underneath the raft and come out. And they'd say, you stood under the water for 5 minutes. What do you have, gills? And everybody would say, nobody knew that under the raft there was that little square opening.
Now, you know what I can remember, too? In 1948, somewhere around there was a postcard in the window of Henning Cooper showing Marion Springfed Swimming Pool, which was Crystal Lake Park.
Crystal Lake Pool. That was clear, too.
Yeah.
Oh.
Quarry water.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Yeah.
And they had a platform with a diving board.
Yes.
And my friend, there were twins called Lee and Dee Price. Dee Price could do...
Yeah.
He was Buck Price. They used to call him Buck Price. He worked at the Marion Star. He was a printer. He was the only one that could do a 2.5.
Oh, really?
A 2.5.
Oh. Well, that's something.
Nobody else could do a 2.5 off of that tower.
Wow. But I thought, you know, a postcard showing Marion Springfed Swimming Pool. And here it was Crystal Lake, not even in the city limits. But it was the only thing we had at that time. Although there was an original pool in Lincoln Park. My dad used to ride his bike from Bucyrus over the mud roads down to Marion and swim in that pool in Lincoln Park. But it was covered over and dug up later.
You know, they're talking about redoing that ballpark up there?
Yes.
And I was up there in the 40s when we had the Boston Red Sox farm team.
Did that bring Max Ross to town?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
That when we had the Boston Red Sox farm team was right there at Marion.
Yeah.
You don't remember that?
No, I don't. That was just before my time getting here.
That was in the 40s.
Yeah.
And I used to go up there, and the stands, people would fill up that place. The stands were filled with people watching the Boston Red Sox or the Marion Red Sox. It was the farm team from the Boston Red Sox.
I wonder what they're going to draw once that's completed, the restoration of that stadium. Will they bring in some semi-pros, do you suppose?
Who knows? Who knows? Mm-hmm. Maybe bring in the Columbus Clippers.
Yeah, right. Well, I tell you, Columbus sure has their share of sports.
They do, don't they?
Oh, my land.
They got everything. They got soccer and hockey.
Clippers and the Blue Jackets. And what else is...
The Ohio State the football team, too.
I can't forget them. Columbus lives football.
Oh, but they got that stadium as you're going in on 71. It's called, what is that called?
Mapfre. Yeah.
What is that, soccer?
Soccer.
Yeah.
And that's going to be, I don't know, be converted to more private use or what?
That Haslam lady, she's the wife of the guy that owns all those big gas stations where those big trucks are, the Pilots.
Oh, Pilot, yeah.
Pilots all over the country.
No kidding.
She's the one that put up the millions of dollars for the Mapfre Stadium.
Oh, gone, yeah.
Well, her name is Haslam.
Haslam.
They own the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, my goodness.
Her and her husband own the Cleveland Browns. Yeah. They own the... I
wonder what they do for fun. Worry about their money.
They got billions of dollars, the Haslams.
Isn't it amazing how money floats around anymore in big time? I mean, millions mean nothing, hardly.
Do you know how many Pilot stations are in this?
The first one I can think of is down there at 71, south of Mount Gilead. Yeah. And then the Flying J.
Oh, well, they own the Flying J, too.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah. The Haslams own all of it.
Ooh, wow. Yeah.
And they're young. They're not that old.
No kidding.
I think they're in their 60s.
They knew how to spend their money.
They're in their 60s.
Oh.
Okay. D. Haslam and Jim Haslam. James Haslam and Jim D. Her picture's been in the paper with that. What is it?
That Mapfre Stadium.
Yeah, Mapfre. What is it?
Mapfre. That supposedly is a company in Europe that it was named after.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
But she's the one that put the money up for that.
Wow. And so they're going to have a brand new stadium now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They're multi-billionaires.
Wow.
Not millionaires. They're billionaires.
Billionaires, yeah. Oh. Woo, it's a different era. Man, I can remember when millionaires were thought of as being the top dog anywhere.
But now it's billionaires.
Yeah. Wow. And someday we probably won't live to see it, but there will be
trillionaires?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think so.
Don't you?
I don't.
Too much?
Okay. Trillionaires would be too much.
Yeah, that'd be a lot. Well, that'd be what would that be, a million millions or a trillion million? No. It'd be a million. I don't know. Too much for us.
What is this headlines? Pro quo quid?
Oh, quid pro quo. Now, I think they think they're smart because they can say that.
Yeah.
That's a Latin name.
Yeah.
Meaning, hey, I'll give you a dollar if you go down and buy me a hot dog. That's what it's equal to. Or if you let your dog in my yard, I'll throw him over the next neighbor's yard.
Yeah.
That's quid pro quo.
So he could do his business.
But I think all these senators and they think they're big time, big shots. They can say quid pro quo. That's crazy. What other term could there be that would express quid pro quo? I don't. There must be something.
There's got to be another Latin winner.
Yeah, but boy, they love that word. Oh my goodness! But you'd have to look up quid. I wonder what quid means. And pro.
A cumulative
or quo? I don't know. But man, they sure love that phrase.
Did you hear what I said? A cumulative.
A cumulative.
I don't know if that means.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I looked
maybe.
Up.
Terry, are you out there? Maybe you know what that means.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's so interesting. Well, anyhow, and maybe people didn't hear the first part of our program where we mentioned the big thing going on in Hardin County would excel anything that's happening in Marion County, space-wise at least, and that's the big windmill farm. I know there's either 47 or 74 windmills.
74, I think.
Yeah. And they'll be installed by the end of the year. I don't know, sometime next year. The bases are there. This must be Terry. Okay, let's see. Good morning, Terry.
Somebody called my name.
Yes.
Yeah, I did. George did.
You can be lucky they called you just your name.
Ah, well, hey, I've been called lots. Sometimes I don't answer, though.
Okay.
So what was the question?
How many windmills will Hardin County have?
76.
76?
Yeah.
Wow. That's bigger than anything in Marion.
Hopefully they'll have the musical, 76 trombones, the Music Man. Hopefully they'll have them over there and the 76 trombones to play when they have them all up and running.
Wouldn't that be something? Now, where will they supply electricity to?
Oh, well, I know AEP is going to be getting some of it. They have a switching station over there. And I don't know all of the logistics of it, but the wind turbines cover a 25-square-mile area, 5x5 area.
I wonder what roads they'll be able to transport those huge blades to where they can go around the corner.
Well, they're building roads, gravel roads out to the sites of where the turbines will be.
Wow.
But they're also building up and redoing some of the roads and bridges that are there in the county. So it appears to be a pretty good deal. A quid pro quo.
Tell us, how do you understand quid pro quo? Those guys won't shut up.
It's an exchange of goods or services in which one transfer is contingent upon the other.
Okay.
It's a favor for a favor.
I'll give you this if you give me that.
Right.
Okay. But isn't there other phrase in that quid pro quo? That
tit for tat.
Yeah, tit for tat.
You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
Yeah.
One hand washes the other.
Can you imagine there's 3/4 of the people in the United States have no idea what quid pro quo means?
Well, how many of them actually understand quantum physics or string theory?
Well, only me.
Was that the question? What was quid pro quo?
Yeah, a simple tit for tat. I like that. Can you imagine Pelosi standing in front of a crowd saying, "Well, tit for tat, we got to."
Even more, could you imagine her saying to Donald Trump, "You scratch my back and I'll scratch yours."
Well, that's right. Yeah. Oh, my.
Yeah.
It's a great life.
Yep.
Well,
George, were you there at the Maid in Marion at the Coliseum?
Yeah.
Ah, that was surprising. That was surprising, all of the students that were out there and everything, and hopefully it will grow and grow.
I kind of like Husted. I think he's a pretty sharp guy. I mean, mm-hmm. he sounded great. I was at the... auditors conference with Joanne and I had more than quite a few auditors saying that
John Huston should be the governor instead of Mike DeWine. But I don't know. He's a young guy. He's younger. Well, look at DeWine. DeWine, what is DeWine, 74, 75?
Yes, yes.
And this, yeah, he's up there.
Yeah, he's up there. And this young guy, Huston, he's pretty sharp. I don't know him. I didn't get a chance to meet him, but...
But we're going to break here in a few seconds.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm listening. Good show.
Okay, thank you.
At least Huston was in Marion.
Yeah. So his title is Secretary of State?
No. He's a Lieutenant Governor under DeWine.
Hey, Scott, I bet you could not guess what my favorite type of animal is.
Cats?
No. Dogs? Now can you guess what my favorite type of dog is?
Black Lab.
No, Golden Retriever. Was there any doubt?
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT. GOAT. Acronym. Stands for greatest of all time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner. They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again with George Kasotis.
Thank you, Charlie.
All right. Okay, we have about a half hour to go, George.
Oh, have we?
It's been a lot of fun. We hadn't even prepared to talk about whatever we're talking about today, I guess.
We've talked about a lot of subjects.
A lot of history.
Oh, a lot of history in Marion County. Oh. Wow.
Yeah, and it brings us back, though, to one of the first things that I brought up about the League of Women Voters, the poor turnout, which is a bad thing for Marion. I mean, what's wrong with the people running for office?
Are they afraid? Last night, I am not impressed. I am not impressed.
Oh.
Although our mayor did a good job. He spoke very nice.
Okay.
But his opponent didn't show up, and I don't know why.
Isn't that something?
And same way with the county or the city auditor. That opponent didn't show up. And they didn't let the auditor, our Marion City auditor, speak because he didn't show up.
Oh, okay.
So they didn't let her speak.
League of Women Voters, I bet, were a little disappointed.
I haven't mentioned any names. I'm not going to mention any names.
Yeah.
But I think things were not right.
Apparently, yeah. Well, maybe they need some new blood. Maybe we all need new blood at our age. We could use a little.
Well, we need the term "new blood" means that the person should be consistently with the knowledge of what should be done.
Yeah, brain power,
right?
Understanding and brain power,
right?
Yeah,
knowledge of
what has to be done
for the future, because we got to look to the future for our young kids coming up. You know, we got a lot of kids,
and
look at all these schools in Marion County. And all those young kids are going to be seniors one of these days, and we have to prepare for that.
We do, certainly.
Yeah.
And what are any politicians saying about the future now? Nitty-gritty stuff.
Yeah. Charlie,
What are they planning for the future of Marion?
Charlie, we're in our late 80s, and we can't, you know, we can talk about the past, our history of the past. You and I probably know more about the history of this Marion than anybody else in this community.
Yeah.
I'd like to say something that it should be. Well, I got a phone call. Oh, my goodness.
Your wife's saying, now, George, be careful.
It is my wife.
Oh, really? She wants you to take out to dinner.
Yeah, no, for lunch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what's up?
So George is having a little mini conference here.
Charlie and I are at WWGH. We're talking live on WWGH.
Oh, boy. And so it goes. George is talking to his wife right now. But really, what do any of the politicians plan for the future? And so many are, you know, they were asked, what would you do if you had to cut your budget? Who would you cut? But what do you plan for the future? My land, there is a future ahead of us. And I'd like to know what people running for office today think of the future. Not just what's happening down the street today. What about the future?
That's true, Charlie.
What are we going to do about a fire station?
Oh, yeah, that's not in good shape.
Oh, my.
That floor could give away, too.
Yeah, and we should be planning, really, on a new fire station, period. A lot of cities have done that. Mount Vernon has a beautiful new one. Oh.
But Mount Vernon has a what?
Mount Vernon, a fire station, beautiful.
Oh, have you been over there?
Yeah, oh, yes, many times.
Oh, good.
And now Bucyrus is another city, though, that needs...
I used to go over to Mazas all the time.
Mazas, yeah.
Yeah, Mount Vernon. They're still there, I think.
I think so, yeah.
That Italian restaurant. Yeah. That family was so good at Mazas in Mount Vernon.
I wonder if anybody listening has any idea what they would like to see in the future for the city of Marion. I tell you what, and I've talked about it for years, and I might as well shut up about it. Straighten out this stupid street system, Center Street. But it takes money. But the planning stages could be now on getting plans together and getting cost estimates and figuring what the future could do to Center Street downtown, to bring back parking, bring back businesses.
In, I might as well say it because it's on my mind all the time. My old restaurant downtown was one of the oldest buildings in Marion, built by Florence Harding's father, Amos Kling.
Right.
At 131 South Main Street is now Byrie's Restaurant, owned by Marcella. And she has Richard Obenauer has all these pictures of downtown Marion back in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s.
Oh.
These are big pictures on the wall.
No kidding.
There must be at least 50 pictures in there.
Oh, wow.
If you see Sears and Roebuck and all the two-way streets of cars driving down Center Street and South Main Street. Well, South Main Street is two ways, but Center Street is two ways. Montgomery Ward's.
Yes.
Penny's.
Oh.
Downtown. Where the county building is now. Penny's, Murphy's, Kresge's, all of those old-time buildings. And it makes, you walk in that restaurant, Byrie's, where my restaurant was for 65 years, and all those pictures are there.
Well, that's good.
Have you ever heard of Richard Obenauer?
Oh, yeah, I know him.
He's a photographer.
He graduated with my wife.
Oh, he made these pictures. You ought to see them, Charlie. Yeah. They're beautiful. Wow.
Boy, but I can, every three times a week, I come up Vine Street, turn left on Center, and do the zigzag down March.
You're right.
Oh, my.
Now, he's got a picture there taken in front of the old General Telephone station on South Main Street.
Yes, yes.
And he's got a picture, and you can see all the signs. You can see Harden's Music, Turner's Hardware.
Oh, yeah.
Crest Restaurant, Cafe George, all those
Isn't
restaurants.
That something?
Stone's Grill, Gallagher's.
Oh, boy.
Penny and Gallagher's, you remember, we went on South Main and come out on Center. All those whole signs you can see in these pictures that Richard Obenauer has photographed and put up.
Oh.
And they're all inside that restaurant at 131 South Main Street.
Isn't that wonderful? Marcella sure does a nice job.
Who?
Marcella.
Oh, yeah. She does a nice job.
Oh, yeah.
But Richard Obenauer does those photographs.
Yeah, right. And he comes to all the reunions. I know him quite well.
You know Richard Obenauer.
Yeah, right.
He's a nice guy,
too. Oh, he is really nice. The son of our former sheriff.
Yeah, Glenn Obenauer's son.
Right.
And Richard is what? He's probably in his...
He'd be 76.
He'd be 76?
Yep.
Okay.
At least. Yeah, or 78.
I think he's in his late 70s.
Yeah, 78. He was born in 41. So he'd be 78.
78.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's quite a photographer.
Yeah. 41, we were 7 years. I was 7 years old, and you were eight or 9 years old then.
Who? You and I?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See? Oh, my. Where does time go?
Where does time go, Charlie? But it's amazing.
Yeah, every now and then my wife brings things down from the attic, and I've got things stored away, and I'll never be able to go through all this stuff before I die.
Yeah, but Joanne wants me to get rid of mine.
Oh,
she said,
imagine.
George, you got so much stuff.
Yeah.
Like you, Charlie.
Yeah.
We're both hoarders for old history, the history of Marion.
I got letters from Charlton Myers, handwritten, pages and pages of letters talking about the statue and this and that. And I kind of treasure those. Because that man is long gone.
I catered at the barn where he stored all of his stuff.
Oh, out in the barn?
I catered there.
Well, oh, no
for,
kidding.
For, oh, when Judge Myers would have events and have people to come to his barn. Oh.
Yeah, that was something. That back bar eventually moved into Marion, to Heritage Hall. It once was All Spall's drugstore.
Every year I catered the Bar Association. All the attorneys and all the judges and all the magistrates were in the back room of my keg and vine.
Oh.
I got pictures of that, Charlie. And all of those old guys are gone now.
Yeah.
Frank Wiedemann and Bill Wiedemann and, oh my goodness, all the prosecutor, Ed Roberts.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
I got a letter
from Judge Russo.
Oh, I got Judge Russo's pictures, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Russo and the Wiedemanns.
Yeah.
You remember the Wiedemanns, Frank?
Yeah,
Bill?
Oh, yeah.
They were both, well, Frank was never a judge, but
Bill
was.
Yeah.
His
Bill.
Son was. And but all those young guys back then didn't have a white or gray hair. They were all black hair. And the Williamsons and...
Now they don't. If they're still alive, it's all white.
Yeah. But anyway, that Judge Myers, well, Judge Myers always came late because he was down at the municipal court, and he'd walk through the alleys to come up to the back and come in my back door. And one night I had the Bar Association. They were eating, right? He walks in the back door, and he went, he's smelling, and he says, well, George, what is that smell? And I said, it's the eucalyptus. I had these eucalyptus over my candle, my glass candle.
Yes.
And the heat from the candle gave that odor of the eucalyptus in the room. And he said, what is that? And I said, those are eucalyptus. So he went over and picked one up off of the table and put it on his head. And he walked down the middle of the aisle and he said, look, everybody, I'm Julius Caesar. Because the Caesars used to wear
those
eucalyptus on their heads.
Those leaves around,
because it had a medicinal smell and made you feel better.
Yeah, and if you didn't take a bath, that really helped.
Oh, right.
Oh, my.
But anyway, Judge Myers was such a jolly person. Jolly good soul.
Oh, yes.
He was a jolly good soul.
And I used to record him in the Salt Rock Historical and Marching Society.
Oh, my goodness.
Every week he came and recorded that program. And I remember one of the people that played his theme song was Jim Sauter.
Yeah. He would smile. That smile he had was just so affectionate, you know. But before him, Dexter Hazen was he didn't put on a good smile.
Yeah.
He was always grumbly. And
oh, yeah.
It was hard to get along with, because I know. Back then, in the 40s, Tom Coons was chief of police, and Judge Dexter Hazen was the king. You know, he ruled the roost.
Yes.
But nobody could get along with the big guy that carried the pistol.
Oh, my.
Who am I talking about? Oh, my God. He was right across the street from me. Oh, you know who was great? Attorney Lou Conkle.
Oh, yeah, Lou.
You remember Lou Conkle?
Yeah, Lou called me and gave me all this stuff from the radio station, WMRN.
Yeah.
All the figures and paraphernalia. I've got tons of it.
Have you? From Lou?
Lou said, Charlie, you're the only one I know that could handle this because... You're the only one left.
Yeah, you're the only one left.
I had, and I turned it over to the society, the incorporation papers for WMRN.
Yeah. Lou was a good old soul.
1940, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Lou, I like Lou. Lou had a limp, And I often wondered if he was in the war. Was it Lou that had the limp?
Yeah, he had the limp.
Okay.
Because he limped across. One leg was one foot.
Maybe
was
he had
shorter.
Polio.
I think he had polio.
Okay.
One leg was shorter than the other one.
Yeah.
He had maybe had some amputated. I don't know.
Now, one of the lawyers that was in World War II was, we haven't mentioned him yet. He was from back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, early 70s. I can't remember his name now. But he was in World War II. There are so many names.
Oh, there were so many attorneys. Oh, they all came to my restaurant.
Yeah.
I fed them all. Like the Democrats and the Republicans. I had Republicans on one side and I had Democrats on the other side. And the food was so good, they just thumbed their nose at each other. They couldn't yell at each other.
Scott,
Marion
did
Hinkle,
you know the Haley's Comet used to bring hang over Marion every night?
No, Charlie, I didn't know that. How's that possible?
Well, it wasn't really Haley's Comet. It was Martha Dowse's fire baton coming from Girard Avenue.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again with George Casillas on our last 15 minutes, which means if any of you would like to call and make a comment, and George, I keep wondering too, should any of the politicians running for office have any plans for the future? Or do they just want to deal with the nitty-gritty? But
unbelievable, Charlie.
Should Marion have plans for the future? Gosh.
Oh, yeah, we should. Yeah. We got to.
So we're relying on our business people, our industrialists, to do the future, not the politicians. But they could make it easier. So I don't know. I would like to see a long-range plan for straightening out Center Street, but apparently nobody wants that. Nobody has ever agreed with me on ever redoing that street. But... And that's the way it is. Now, were you obsessed so much money for that streetscape program?
$20,000.
$20,000.
Back then,
but
that
it didn't
was,
come down center, or it didn't come down Main.
No.
Oh my!
Every business owner was $20,000.
Oh my!
We all had to pay it.
And nobody ever, to this day, has say, "Hey, I want my money back."
Nope.
Isn't that something? Now, how did Marion ever get away with establish? Did they convince people this is going to be the modern way of the future? I wonder. It sure didn't turn out that way.
I was trying to remember who was mayor back then.
It was Ron Malone, wasn't it? Or was it...
No.
Okay. What's his name that used to work at Euler's? Sansoda.
No,
no?
Sansoda was safety service director.
Oh, okay. Now, just a second here.
Maybe it was...
Caller, go ahead.
Hey, Charlie. Oh,
yes.
Yeah, you and George talking about the old buildings here that downtown. My dad always talked about the Hamburger Hill. And then one thing that you forgot about downtown is the old mill again. There are old prospects.
Yeah.
But when it was working in the 80s, my dad was foreman there, and I worked there before they moved out to Martell. And the mills, well, Tiger says that there. But that was a long place at one time. So I want to ever do with the tanks that are still left. But they're getting in bad shape. But they had their own, owned by Kansas Milling before ConAgra took it over.
Yeah, right.
And they had their own brand of flour. It was called Four Leaf Clover. That was sold here in Maine at Wyndham's and I tell you a small group of stores around Marion, but that was the going place for years. So, but I
have not ever heard what they're going to do with it. Very good, Bob. Okay, thanks a lot. Okay, back to George once again.
Okay, Charlie, yeah.
So, we've got about 10 minutes left in the program today. If anyone else wants to make a comment, good, bad, or indifferent. This is a lot of fun, though. Where else could you ever go anywhere around Ohio and get a conversation like we're doing now? Nowhere.
Nowhere.
No.
No. Right. It's unbelievable. But
that's right.
Charlie, we've lived it.
Our whole
lives have been here in Marion, Marion County. And, well, you were originally from Bucyrus, but you moved to Marion. You were here most of your life.
Yeah, 60-some years.
60-some years.
Woo! Wow. But, yeah, I've seen the good, bad, and evil. But I've seen a lot of good.
Dr. Milton Axelum delivered me in his horse. He came in his horse and buggy.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Remember that name, Milton Axelum?
Yeah. Well, I wonder what kind of tools he had in his briefcase.
He had the little brandy bottle. He had a bottle of brandy. I know that.
That probably did a lot of good, too. Made you forget your pain. Isn't that something?
And then when I grew up, before he passed away, I knew because he had the reddest cheeks.
Oh.
And those red cheeks made, that brandy made his cheeks red for some reason.
That reminds me, too, I have a grandson, Don Hutchinson, who speaks German, who works for a German company and is back and forth from Germany to the United States all the time. The last time he came back, he brought me a souvenir bottle of Jägermeister.
Oh, Jägermeister.
Oh, boy. Oh, I got a big bottle at home, but I haven't opened it in years.
That's like a peppermint or spearmint.
Yeah, it's got a little licorice
taste.
Yeah, and boy, I tell you, it, whoo! And this bottle is embossed with the word Jägermeister. It's a real collector's item, and because inside there's not that much.
Oh, no.
But, and he also sent to me a company by the name of Haribo, H-A-R-I-B-O, that makes licorice in Germany. And this is the best licorice I've ever eaten in my life. And I have a package of that.
Wow.
Now, that same company sells candy in the United States, but they never have their licorice. But, oh, it is so, it comes in curls.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Okay.
I've seen that.
Man.
Oh, my goodness.
You take Jägermeister and that licorice and whoo! Well, what is it? Jägermeister, I guess, is something that kids like, or college kids. And I know up at Put-in Bay in Frosty's, they have it on tap. Can you imagine drinking that much Jägermeister on tap?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh. It'd knock you down.
Up at Cedar Point?
Yeah. Well, no, at Put-in Bay.
Oh, Put-in Bay.
Yeah. Frosty's, the famous place, been there forever.
Where was Lon's? George Lon's.
Lon's was on Middle Bass Island.
Middle Bass, yeah.
Yeah, where you got your keg.
Yeah, my big barrel.
Yeah.
My 500-gallon barrel that I had. That's why I named it the Keg and Vine, because of that barrel.
Yeah, and that's one thing. Fred Hardin never could get that keg on his airplane.
No. I remember the cases of wine that he wanted me to carry onto his plane, and then we couldn't get off. He went into the water. Oh, Fred drove me crazy.
That's pretty good.
Huh?
But so there's a little airport Middle Bass Island.
Oh, yeah. We landed on Middle Bass to get the wine.
But when you went to take off, your wheels got pretty wet.
And you know what the name of that wine was? Sauterne.
Oh, Sauterne.
Sauterne.
S-A-U-T-E-R-N-E.
Yeah, Sauterne was a beautiful, smooth wine that George Lon's used to make that.
Okay.
And George Lon's winery, oh, my God.
Yeah. I was at the Heinemann's winery the other day.
Heinemann's, yeah. They were very popular,
and,
too.
And they say they make everything they sell.
Yeah.
And I bought some, when I was there, I couldn't find it anywhere else. And I can't remember the name of it now. But I said, where do you get this? And they said, we make it.
Oh, the, we make it, sure. Yeah. Yeah, we've been there, Heinemann's.
Yeah. That's a neat place.
Yeah, Gareth and Sue and Joanne and I would meet there every for two or three summers in a row we did that.
Nice place.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, that's the first time I ever really made use of Heinemann's Winery. I went and I had some food there, and what's the name of that wine? Oh, you never see it anywhere. Oh, good grief. Well, anyhow.
Anyhow, we're...
We've got 5 minutes left in the program today.
And we have enjoyed this today. Oh. I'm really impressed with all the knowledge that you have, Charlie, and some of the stuff that I had.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. I passed Randy Winland in the elevator today, and I looked at Randy. He used to have me come to speak to his college group about Marian history.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that was 30 years ago, probably. And here he is today. Randy is quite a historian.
He's ahead of the Historical Society?
Well, he's been the head of it. He's on the board and so forth. And he's quite an author.
When is that thing at the Tri Rivers?
Tomorrow.
Is that tomorrow?
Tomorrow evening, yeah.
I thought it was tonight.
What is today? The 23rd? No, it's the 24th.
It's the 24th.
Yeah, he's going to be on the air, I think, tomorrow. With Scott.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, because he brought a book in today for Scott to see before he did the interview.
He doesn't realize that I was at the...
That's right.
At Sea Camp Park and at,
both, yeah.
Both and the roller... actually, it was a highway... It was the roll arena, too. That's the round...
Yes. The Crystal Lake...
The Crystal Lake Ballroom.
Yeah.
They had a roll arena.
And then it was Bargain City, remember?
Bargain City, yeah. But no, Bargain City was another building. This, I don't think it was the original.
Yeah, it was that oblong, rounded building.
Rounded building,
yeah. I saw it burn down. I was driving to work
one morning. Remember that because I went up there.
Yeah, I saw the flames and the smoke.
Sure.
It was 5 o'clock one morning when I pulled in. Yep, and that was the end of that.
That was the end of that. Oh. Wow. I remember that dance floor. Well, it was it wasn't the highway roll arena out the east end of Marion, but the one that was built before the highway roll arena.
And let me see. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, Father Kelly, Bargain City went into the old roll arena.
Yeah, right.
Right. Whatever it was. Yeah, I told her. They went out to the roll arena. Oh, yeah. And there's another roll arena that you never mentioned. That was the old highway roll arena.
Right.
That was there and down.
Yeah, you're right.
My grandfather liked to pull with that building when it went up. That's the highway.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Bob. 11:57. Oh, boy. 3 minutes left, George.
Well, Charlie, we've had a good morning on this.
Have we changed any attitudes? Probably not.
Probably not.
Have we brought history to light? I think we have. And... And things like my quest on I'll Never See It Before I Die would be the start of a plan to straighten out West Center Street. The zigzags could be gone forever if people tried. And what do visitors to Marion think when they come down Center Street and go zigzag?
What did you think of that back-end parking in front of the county building?
Nice. I think it's crazy.
Well, that way when they back in, they can look to the left, which is the east, to see if anybody's coming. When they're parked the other way, they can't see them coming.
That's right, yeah.
That's the only good advantage of that.
But how would you like to stop in front of a Peterbilt semi-truck and back up?
Oh, my goodness. Some of those ones are 53 instead of 40.
Is that right?
Some of them are just, the little ones are 40-foot long, but the big ones are 53. They added 13 feet on there.
Oh. I wonder what people in Marion ever, I've never heard many people comment about that. Maybe they like it.
So, well, a lot of times, I've seen more 53-foot trucks going down on Center Street than I do 40-foot ones.
Yeah.
Oh
they're
God.
Big,
those
aren't
53
they?
53-foots are giants.
Oh, absolute giants. And
would you imagine 53 feet long trailers, semi-trailers going down.
Whirlpool has probably over 100 at any one time.
Oh, yeah.
Man, it's amazing.
Not alone, Wyandotte has those. I mean, they're coming out of Wyandotte,
And Ted Graham's place, my goodness. Ooh. Well, let me see. I got time for a few seconds here. Caller, go ahead.
Charlie, do you know what they're doing in front of Marion County Building since they dug that all up?
No, I don't know.
It's all dug up. They're like they're going to do something in there. They got the whole dang place blocked off, and it's all dug up through there.
Gee, it'd be nice.
What's dug up?
In front of the county building.
The back-end parking that they put in there is all dug up right now.
Oh. Well, we'll have to check that out today.
I haven't noticed that.
Yeah.
I'll drive
past. I just wonder if they're going to do something else there. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to check that out. Very good.
All right.
Ralph,
I just wondered.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, George?
Charlie.
Yeah.
Thank you, Charlie.
You're listening
being here.
To WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For Ohio State Senator Sherrod Brown on presidential contender and Governor John Kasich,